You're listening to the EBITDA Growth Systems Making Business Profitable podcast with profitability experts Dave Kapkowitz and Mike Watkins.
Coming at you from 5,675 feet in lovely Golden, Colorado. My name is Dave Kapkowitz, and I'm here with Michael Watkins, living our mission statement to impact lives through improving business performance. We accomplish this by coaching, speaking, and educating so you can live your best life.
Good day, Dave.
Good day, Michael. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. I'm good.
Big Daddy Cap.
Big Daddy Papa Cap.
Yeah. You had another one, huh?
Yeah, my children are getting with it, man. My kids are between the ages of 23 and 30. And my girls are like, you know, we want babies. And I'm like, we like grandkids. So we had another baby born. Very healthy mom, healthy baby. Baby Amaya was born.
Yeah. What a blessing. What a beautiful name.
Yes. Yeah. She's doing really well. Really well. She's already smiling. It's definitely a blessing. I'm super stoked.
Yeah. It's amazing. Those personalities. They come into the world with those personalities.
I love my kids.
Yeah.
But man, grandkids are so much easier.
Yeah. I love my kids, and they're really easy because they're not in the house. So what are we going to talk about today?
You know, in talking about the labor shortage and talking about manufacturers that are going after employees and trying to hold on to employees, we focus a lot on what do you need to do to have a stable workforce and make your business sticky? How do you keep your employees? And I think it starts with onboarding.
Certainly it starts with onboarding. I mean, they have to have a good interview experience, but you have them scheduled for 10 a.m. and they get there and you don't really get around to them until 10:45 because you're busy. You know, you're the business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, for the baby boomer, that might work. For the Gen X, sort of works. For the millennial, no.
And Gen X takes it as like an FU.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, fine, be that way.
And then Gen Z is like, they'll walk out on you.
Gen Z is like, okay, what other job can I find on my cell phone while I'm sitting here waiting for the owner?
Totally.
It's pretty amazing.
So, but yeah, onboarding. We've always preached the importance of onboarding, and because it's really the first major experience that employee has with the decision that they made, and they're really looking to validate that decision. And it's about the people more than the place, right?
You know, we were. I'm not to go on a rabbit trail,
mm-hmm.
but no, we read that book from Hardy and Sullivan. You know, 10x is easier than 2x.
Yeah.
And in there, we've adopted one of their phrases: "How you do anything is how you do everything."
Yep.
If you want to make good quality parts on time, and you want to be a premier shop, then you better be a premier onboarder with your employees.
Well, no, absolutely.
How you do anything is how you do everything. You can't slough off with the most important thing in your business. You gotta take it seriously.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're communicating to them.
Yep. You know, if you're communicating, you're important or you're not.
Yep. This is our culture around employees.
So if you're a business owner and you're listening to this, onboarding is a lot more critical than what you think.
Yeah. So what would we tell someone? I want to onboard my employees properly, but what the hell does that mean?
You don't have anything until you have a plan, right?
Yeah.
You have to have a plan. You have to build a plan. We have a new employee onboarding and orientation sheet that we go through. It's like a 2-3-page sheet, and it has a whole bunch of boxes you check, and it just walks you through how do you make an employee understand where we are, and how do you make an employee feel welcome day one? How do you immerse your employee into your culture, and how do you make them feel like there's no surprises? They know exactly what's going on. They might understand the job description they're going into, but they don't understand where they're going until they're there.
Right. And you know, before we even talk about the particulars of the plan, you know, I think it's important to figure out who's going to execute the plan in your organization.
Yeah.
You know, is it you, the owner? Is it your office manager?
Your HR person? Yeah. Your foreman? Who is it?
Who is it? But that person's got to be committed to it. That can't be a chore or, crap, man, do I have to do that? I mean, if that person has that orientation, they're probably not the right person to be leading up your onboarding activities.
That's right.
But somebody's got to be responsible for it. So you have a
plan.
It's got to be
somebody who cares about your people.
Yeah.
And if your foreman doesn't care about your people, you got a problem.
Yep.
But it's got to be somebody that really cares about your people. I was very fortunate. The last place I worked had a fantastic HR person, and they really did a good job immersing people. But having a plan and knowing who is executing that plan is paramount before you really have an onboarding.
Absolutely. And so that plan, I think, will include IT sign-ons. If there's a need for a laptop, you know, or a cell phone, IT for the ERP system,
yeah.
Right?
ERP, make sure they have a badge. You know, IT usually gives you a badge for door access and all that good stuff.
And then, you know, you have your swag bag. I mean, they should walk in. You give them a cap. You give them a T-shirt or a hoodie,
jacket, whatever.
Right, something.
I think identifying them, and I mean, not only is it brand recognition, but it's like, here, welcome to the family. I have a bag for you.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, it makes people feel they're getting something from you instead of, hey, I'm just giving you my work and I'm going to get paid hourly. Now they actually get something, and it's kind of cool. They go home with a bag of stuff. You know? It's how you do it. And I think, and also with that, you have like a mini, I think it's worth spending a couple bucks and having like a little manual on how we do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is where the lunchroom is. This is the refrigerator that's for you. This is the door you come in. By the way, you park out here. And these are people that park in this area. These are people that park in this area. And make sure you're over here. If you need anything, this is where you go get it. This is where you go get supplies, all that stuff.
Yeah, here's a list of lunch places in close proximity. Here's a picture of the team.
Yeah. Here's a gym that's close if you want to take it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff is like, welcome to the team. By the way, this is your new home, and this is the layout around your home, and this is how you'll function. I think you want to make people feel like they're part of it, and you want them to make them feel like you went out of your way to make sure they're comfortable and have everything they need.
Yeah, Dave, you know, when we talk about communication skills, and we teach communication skills with some regularity, one of the things we say is if you think you've over-communicated, like really feel like you've over-communicated, then you're probably 10% of the way there.
Yeah, 10% or half of the way there. Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with this onboarding. If you think that you are, you know, you've gone overboard to make someone feel welcome, you're probably 50% of the way there. I mean, you can get more creative with this stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, give them a swag bag, IT badge, how to do it manual, and then taking the time to put a nice PowerPoint together, which this is our team members, this is where they are, this is who they are. So when they walk out the floor, they're recognizing people.
Yeah.
Day one. And not only that, but the people that you're taking pictures of and putting in there, it's like, hey, you're a really integral part of our team. And when we want to introduce all our new people to you, would you mind taking a picture? I'd love to put this up and introduce you every time we bring somebody through.
Yeah.
It makes the whole team feel important.
Sure. And, you know, what's your favorite animal or what, you know, something underneath your face that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do? What's your favorite pastime? Right.
And you got to remember, too, if you have a small shop, 10, 15 people, you don't pick everybody up and put everybody in room and say, hey, I'm going to pull the new person out in front of them. Here, I want everybody to meet Bob. And here's Bob, he's a toolmaker, and this is his background. That can make most people very uncomfortable. There's only some people like to be in front of people. Walking them around individually is much better.
Yeah, and I think part of that, you know, that whole making sure that IT's done, give them the swag bag, walk through the manual. I think if they had a partner,
buddy.
Yeah, a work buddy.
Yep.
Who did they get assigned to the first day, who makes sure all that stuff is in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're not responsible for getting in place, but when the guy comes on board, hey, man, do you have your badge? Do you have your sign on? You know, I mean, they're following up to make sure the list.
And it's really cool, too, if you have work buddy day one and a different work buddy day two.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You have two people that you spend the day with. And 2 days isn't that much to invest in making sure somebody feels at home. Now they have two people. Because those two people, they're going to like one better than the other. They're going to gel more with one than the other.
Sure.
And those two people are going to give two different sets of information to the to the new employee.
Yeah. Yeah. One. So I think that's great. And I love the idea of the PowerPoint, because you could send that PowerPoint out before the person actually comes. You know, once you've made it through the interview process and you give them the offer and they accept the job. Yeah, you send them over a PowerPoint, who we are, our mission, vision, values. Here's the team. Here's some of our best customers, right?
Convert it to PDF before you send it out, though, because most people don't have PowerPoint on their personal home computers.
Point, but I'll take it.
But I think, to your point, one of the biggest parts of doing the walk around this whole onboarding is the follow-up process. This is our HR person. Her name is Marnie, and she's pure gold. But if they started Monday, on Wednesday, on Monday afternoon, she'd sit down with them. Hey, how'd your first day go? On Wednesday, hey, how'd everything go? How's your week going on Friday? Hey, how'd you feel things went this week? You know, how could we improve onboarding you? Blah, blah, blah. But that follow-up, that continued touch makes the employee feel like I care about them. And you'd be amazed how much more you get out of an employee when they feel like you care about them.
Yeah.
And well, it isn't about, hey, how much can I get out of a person? But when they're invested and they work like they're invested.
Well, I think that establishing that connection with whoever is going to be responsible for HR, typically in a machine shop, the only time you go to HR is because you're in trouble or you did something, you know.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a positive experience. So to start it off on the right foot with a HR person who just wants to make sure you're feeling welcome.
What do you think about what do you think about the answering the question why you're doing all this?
Yeah, I mean, maybe some of those out in our listening audience right now are saying, you know, Mike, we hear what you're saying, but you know, why would I invest that amount of time and energy, you know, in onboarding someone? And what was your comment yesterday when we talked about this? The why, something about. It's basically, you know, pay me now, pay me later, right? I mean, yeah, you can invest a couple of dollars, a couple of hours making sure someone gets onboarded properly, or you can spend $75, which is 75 grand, which is,
you're, you know, just rotating. I mean, either you invest in the process or you just keep pissing away money.
Yeah.
It's basically hire someone 6 months later, you got to hire somebody else 6 months later. If you're in it, I would ask you, if you're listening to this podcast, step back. Look in the mirror and say, how long do people stay? What's my churn like? Why do people leave? And do I really invest in them up front? And as a small business owner, it's really hard to discipline yourself and say, I'm going to write an onboarding procedure. I'm going to follow it. And I'm really busy. I have 500 million things to do, but I need to spend 2 to 3 days with somebody or a full day with somebody. I need to block out my whole day and spend time with somebody to make sure that they get off on the right foot. And you think of, oh, I'm wasting all this time doing this. You're not, though.
No, because if you, you know, if you don't do that quote, which is the lifeblood of your organization, does that quote have $75 grand worth of profit associated with it? Because that's what it's costing you every time you turn over.
That's like $500,000 in work.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so, you know, the quote, if the quote's important, show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get it done before the onboarding starts.
Right.
I mean, that's just how it is. But the most important, no business has any value without employees. I mean, you have to, employees keep the business moving.
Yes, and everyone is complaining about the inability to find employees. But when we peel back a layer of the onion, very few companies have anything in place to make sure they retain the existing employees.
And the people that do, they have people at the door already.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not hard for them to find people. In fact, people go looking for them. So
yeah, they get referrals and all kinds of stuff.
And the truth of the matter is, most important asset that you'll have in your facility is your employees. Make sure it's important. Make it a priority. Otherwise, you won't be a priority for them, and it'll be a rotating door, and you'll spend way more money than really doing onboarding right.
Right on, Dave.
Right on, Mike. If you'd enjoyed this podcast and you're in manufacturing and you want to learn more about what we do, go to our contact tab at ebitdagrowthsystems.com, EBITDA, growthsystems.com, and I'll be reaching out to you personally to see what we can do for you.
You've been listening to the EBITDA Growth Systems podcast, Making Business Profitable.